I wanted to say a few words about that reading. And again, thank you very much for being a part of this meeting. I'll start with the verse at the top from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. This comes from the reading in the part of the Bible. Usually they're called the poetic readings. And this was this book, Ecclesiastes, was written by King Solomon, the son of King David. And King Solomon's life is actually very interesting because he was one of the people in the Bible who kind of started off very, very well and ended up not so well at the end. But it's amazing about people in the Bible that they can mess up, but the Lord still allows us to learn from them. In fact, I find a lot of times when people mess up in the Bible, it gives me almost a greater lesson. One of the things that Solomon messed up in is that in the beginning, before he even took over the kingdom, he had asked the Lord to give him the ability to rule wisely, you know, to be able to rule the people wisely, because he felt that he definitely did not have that ability in himself. And God blessed him, and he not only blessed him by giving him a wisdom to rule people wisely, but he also gave him great wealth, and gave him, so Solomon had a lot of things. He had a lot of material good as well. What happened, though, is that Solomon let a lot of that get to his head. And eventually he became obsessed with women and obsessed with things. And this whole book of Ecclesiastes is written kind of as a warning of what happens when you go down the wrong road. And this third chapter, a lot of times people use it, I know, a lot of times at weddings, about there's a time for everything. And sometimes they use it also at funerals as well. But one of the things that he has written, especially in this first verse, he says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And I underlined the word season, and I also underlined the word activity. And when I looked in the Webster's Old Dictionary for season, his definition was an appointed time. And it made me think again about how everything in my life now is appointed. And the other word that I looked up, in terms of a season being appointed time, God knows all things. And so he has designed a big plan. And when I forget that God is in charge and I am not, I can get overtaken with anxiety when my plans don't work out. I find that worry and anxiety work counter to my productivity. What it does is that it slows me down considerably. And it takes me from a place of poise and confidence. One of the things that I love so greatly about abstinence and walking in the way that the Lord has designed for my life is that it gives me poise and it gives me confidence. It is not man-made confidence. It is really God's confidence. It gives me the ability to know that God is God and everyone else is everyone else, you know, and that there are no demigods. There are no people that are better in the kingdom of God, that we all are the same. That we're no bigger than anyone else, so I don't have to have any fear. And even when I see people who are living out their giftedness, who are doing what their life is designed to do, and even when I don't quite always know what I'm designed to do, the big thing that I have to keep in mind is that I'm covered by the blood of God, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and that my life has been redeemed. And even though I don't know, God knows. He knows the plan that He has for my life, and He knows that I am worth wonderful things, that I have worth, and that I'm a child of the King again. I am so grateful for that, very, very grateful. And when I put my mind in that mindset, it does, it calms me down, and it gives me a poise, and it gives me a confidence that it's not a cockiness, and it's not a boastful type of a life. It's a life actually of humility, because it's the realization that I have nothing good in my life outside of Him, that He controls me, that He made me, that He loves me, that He directs me, and that He wants me to live out this fullness of life that He has designed for me. And that gives me such a joy, and it gives me such a peace. And so when I get a glimpse of what I think I should be doing, and I ask for more, and it doesn't come right away, then I realize, I have to realize, that it's not the right timing for it. The other word that I looked up was activity. And Webster defines activity as the habit of diligent and vigorous pursuit of a business. And that word business, again, reminds me that it's not my business anymore, it's God's business. And His business is building the kingdom. And so I have to, again, put my focus on what am I asking for? And is what I'm asking for truly about building the kingdom of God? Because if it's not, then that's a big aha, you know, why things are not working out, or why the timing is not right. That sometimes my motives can be quite off. You know, I don't, it looks kind of good on the outside, but when I dig deeper, I realize that my motives are way off, you know, and it's not about building the kingdom. It's about building self. It's about puffing self up. And I want to be through with that. Because whenever I try to get into self-seeking, it eventually leads to trouble and pain. And I want to live from that redeemed self. I want to be that new creation in Christ. It says that in 1 Corinthians 5, it says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, you know, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So I have a new ministry, and that ministry is to be reconciled to God, and I am reconciled to God through the blood of Christ, but I'm also about being in the ministry of reconciliation, or bringing others to that understanding that if they don't know Jesus, to help them to come to a knowledge of Him so that they too can be a part of this glorious kingdom. And I think I misquoted, it should be 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians is where you find that new creation verse. The other thing that came to mind as a result of that reading, it says God's timing. It says, when my prayers are not answered, yes, the devil would have me believe that God doesn't care about me. And I have to remember that regardless of what the devil says, God does care. And he's also very attentive to my prayers. He can see beyond what I'm asking on the surface. And he knows better than what I know. He cares enough for me that he will not give me something that will utterly destroy me. He, the Bible says too, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And sometimes, you know, things that I ask for, they are trials, you know, and sometimes they are allowed, again, to grow me up. But again, it's not going to be bigger than what I can handle. But if it is bigger than what I can handle, believe me, God is going to say, no, absolutely not. You know, this is not going to happen at this time because it could destroy you. And so I'm grateful for that. Very, very grateful for that. And in that second paragraph, it says, God's no gives me an opportunity to practice patience and perseverance. And again, on that surface of that, patience and perseverance sound like yucky words, you know, on the surface. It sounds like, ugh. You know, I don't want to have to do any kind of thing that has to do with patience and perseverance. But I have known from experience that those are wonderful, wonderful things, to have patience and perseverance. That I also know that there is kingdom work before me that I can do. There are areas that I have neglected that I know are clearly mine to do. And when I have, I'm in a waiting period, most of the time I need to pray for the willingness to stop avoiding what has already been revealed. I can be praying for a new revelation or new opportunities, and I haven't even taken advantage of the opportunities that he has already provided that were yesterday's prayers. And so one of the opportunities that I know that is a standing opportunity is that I am called to encourage my brothers and my sisters in Christ. A lot of times when I am asking for me, you know, and things for me, I have forgotten about my brothers and sisters in Christ who need encouragement. I'm too busy chasing after what I think is my dream, quote unquote. And again, I have to keep in mind that God is calling me to be a part of the body of Christ. It's not just about Pat, you know. It's about my brothers and my sisters. And it is about me too. He hasn't forgotten me. But it's about keeping that balance. And if I'm getting a lot of no answers when I'm asking God and the answer is no, quite often it means that I need to step back and survey some of the prayers that have already been answered. And how am I using what he's already been given? This makes it very clear to me why a lot of times people say that when I'm in a period of waiting, I need to make gratitude lists, sometimes focusing on what is good in my life and what has already been answered in my life, brings a lot of clarity on what I should be doing. I also realize, too, that God calls me to be a fisher of men, meaning that there are many people who don't know him yet. And I need to be about the business of what I call tending my fishing lines, meaning that I should be practicing kindness and being loving to them, so that they can see God in me and be attracted to this wonderful life I'm living under His canopy of love. I'm going to also, actually before I give this to Maisha to ask for her, I wanted to just direct you to that digging deeper. There were two things that that might be helpful in terms of when you're doing your journaling. One is that first bullet about telling them a time when God's no turned out to be a blessing in disguise. I can do a lot of writing on that. I know I have asked for a lot of things. And when I look back later and realize that, oh my goodness, I am so grateful that God did not answer that yes, you know. So that might be a good point to journal in sometime this week or later on in the day. And the other bullet, that third bullet about how is your God-honoring plan of eating today? How is it today? And how does that fit into God's plan for this season in your life? There might be people on the line who are not abstinent yet. And so I always want to bring it back to this about the abstinence. That abstinence is extremely important for those who know that they are compulsive overeaters. If it has been shown to you that you sin greatly in that way, and you're asking for things and you're not abstinent yet, and that might be step one. Well, actually, step one is that if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, that is definitely primarily step one. Because Jesus as Lord is important, number one, for your eternal security, but also for your abundance in this life, because without the Spirit of God living in you, the inability to do or have the power to do what needs to be done is not there. So if you're listening and you have not accepted Jesus as Lord, pray that God can open up your eyes to how extremely, imperatively important that is. It's eternally important. But let's say you're listening and you are a child of the King, but you're still struggling with the food, then I will say pray for the willingness to be clean with your food. Because my experience has been that when I'm not clean, when I have not in the past been clean of my food, and I'm grateful that I am, and I have been by God's grace for these last 22 years, when I was not clean with my food, I was chasing after an idol. And as a child of the King, you cannot do that and expect Him to bless you. So if that is your case, I would say talk to people on the line, talk to people that you hear on this line, and ask them what they do with their abstinence. It might be a big point that you might need someone, you might need the humility to allow someone to lead you. I don't know where I would be without people who are committed to abstinence and who help me to keep my commitment one day at a time. But I am going to stop now. I'm going to ask Maisha if she could take over. Maisha?